Well, now the return of a comedy cafe pal, lawman turned funny man and author, Harry Morris, a.k.a. Harry the Polis. How are you, Harry?
I'm fine, thanks very much.
Good to have you on. And busy time for you because you, like the theatre company we've just had on, you're about to start a Scottish tour this very night.
This very night, I'm in East Kilbride Village Theatre at 7.30, so I'm looking forward to it.
And then you're taking in, I've been having a wee look, Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Ayr. Any particular theme you're exploring on this tour, or is it stories of the Polis days?
It's actually a lot of stories, jokes, anecdotes, tales. I usually have a sort of set list, but when I go in there, I usually end up sort of diversion and going somewhere else and whatever it takes me.
It is so funny talking to you, because Billy Connolly was my Christmas Eve guest on my Saturday show here on BBC Radio Scotland. I spent a morning with him, and I'm hearing the voice again. It's like people have compared you, of course.
My mother says he sounds like me.
He copied you. If only you could have your success as well. Tell me something. Do you get many Polis, either current or ex, coming to your shows?
Well, there's a lot tonight. I know there's a lot tonight coming. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I like the idea that more and more are starting to come and enjoy it and have a laugh.
We started off the show today talking about Monty Python and Life of Brian and the whole idea of the film about it, exploring the idea of comedy causing offence, and of course it continues to do so, and maybe that's exactly what it should do if that's what people want to do. Where are you in that? What is your comedy like? People think, Harry the Polis, could I come along, could I bring my ma, is he blue, you know, what are the boundaries of your comedy?
No, I don't swear unless it fits the context of the characters that I've dealt with, and it's done in a funny way. So I don't swear for the sake of swearing. I try not to be offensive to anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm generally there to try and make people laugh and just have a good time. So I don't see the point of having to swear all the time or be rude to anybody.
Yeah. You know. And are there just endless stories and anecdotes then that you can plumb?
Well, I think sometimes you start to write. I was actually, you go to different things in the police and most of, you know, there's funerals, you go to a lot of funerals, and where a lot of the cops all meet, and as soon as you sit down, the stories all start to flow and we have a good laugh, and so you get a lot of stories that way.
So you're making mental notes, or do you actually have a notebook? Do you
rush? I'm becoming a professional mourner.
So you're not just there for the purvey, you're there for the patter as well.
That's it, you get good stories and a great bit of steak pie at the end of it all.
As you tour more and more, tell me something. You often hear stand-ups talking about it. I suppose any kind of performer, they get a sense of different venues in different cities. Even just within Scotland, do you get a sense of a different vibe, a different atmosphere, town to town?
Well, for some reason, they seem to like me up in Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And they're starting to take to me in Edinburgh. Last year, I did about 12 sort of places through in Edinburgh. And I think somebody must have sat down one day and said, hey, by the way, they eventually understood me and they said, this guy's Scottish.
Have you ever played The Fringe, talking of Edinburgh?
No, I was asked actually to do it once with Leith Festival. I was asked to do it and then it sort of fell through. I can't remember what happened.
Is that not a big ambition? Because obviously people, you know, they look to Edinburgh, it can be, you know, make your name. You can make the big time there.
Well, they're basically comedians. I mean, I don't really sort of class
myself. Do you
not
classify yourself as a
comedian?
I don't
really. I think I can tell funny stories and I can be funny. But I'm not a professional like all these other people. Although I would maybe try it sometime.
See how you can not categorise yourself as a professional. And also, I mean, a lot of this has sprung from initially, as we know, you know, writing the stories down, and you've got the whole series of books. Do you enjoy the difference between sitting at home, you know, and writing the funny books, which are hugely popular? Is it a nice change of, like using a different part of your brain to get up there, and you're much more exposed, well, you're completely exposed, and you're not
well,
you're
I get
writing
a bit
a book.
I get a bit nervous, I suppose, at the first week thinking of it, and then the nearer it gets, the more I seem to get a buzz and look forward to it. And it was one of these things, I suppose, when I was born, my father looked at me in the cot. Apparently my mother says I was always going to be funny, because my father says, is this a joke?
That's terrible. And tell me something, says you're hoping quite a few police there tonight. Do the police tend to be the butt of your stories, or is it just because life as a police officer, like any of these services, you're experiencing and witnessing the extremes of life? Is that where the comedy lies?
Yeah, but I point out during it or at the end of it all, it's not about taking the mick out of the police. It's actually showing there's a sense of humour in the police, And we do enjoy a sense of humour.
Yeah.
So the serious guy you see in the street is not really as serious as you think.
I presume that's a dark mine of it's a seam of humour that you're mining there with the police. I guess you have to be in extreme circumstances.
Well, it was the way I dealt with stress in the police, because it's a very stressful job. So when I used to go to things, I would always see something funny in it, something humorous, and it would make it easier for me to deal with it.
Yeah, although silent laughter, I presume you weren't the laughing policeman in the corner in the middle of tragic circumstances, Harry. Now, as well as the Polis books, I keep reading about this novel. Have you written the novel, Born to be Wide?
Actually, I wrote it five years ago. And it's actually, my cousins all over the world, you know, they seem to be everywhere, the Doherty's, and they keep writing to me and saying, when's it coming out? So my publisher has now got it and they're looking at it.
Give us a sneaky peek then inside.
Well,
it's actually
great, because the BBC did look at it before.
Oh yes.
And the idea is it's all set in the one street, and it's about
good to like that. That'll
it's
keep
about
the cost
a family
down.
Called the Doherty's.
Yeah.
And it's four brothers. It's set in the sort of late 40s, early 50s, and it's about four brothers basically growing up there with the sort of docks in the background and the Razor Kings either side. And it's how they use their patter to get through life,
right.
And the father's a docker and stuff like that. And it's basically the boys growing up in the street.
Very
patter
good.
They use.
Good. Okay, well, we'll look out for that. Maybe, you know, in book form or possibly
this
on the
year,
telly.
Hopefully,
all
yes.
All right, okay. It's called Born to be Wide. Harry Morris, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the tour. Harry's tour kicks off tonight at 7:30 at the Village Theatre in East Kilbride. Full details of that gig and indeed the other dates at his website, which is, yes, you guessed it, harrythepolis.co.uk. Do go to our website too, which is bbc.co.uk/Radio Scotland.